We like to do things by the numbers. We're all about commerce and community. Welcome to The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now for the host that's always on The Upswing, Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Every other Wednesday, I love this show. The business of sports, that's what we do on The Upswing. Maybe today the Brewers clinch. Hopefully. Magic number, of course. One. See what the Cubs do this afternoon, and then see what the Brewers can do later on this evening. No matter what, Mark Cass from Team Lammy is here, and former Packers VP Andrew Brandt. Andrew's one of the leading sports business voices in the country. He'll join us for some high-level insights on a myriad of topics, including quarterback contracts, maybe another stock sale in Green Bay, and so much more. But as we do each and every morning on The Upswing, producer Jazz, let's go two up.
Now it's time for the
2
up on The Upswing.
It's better at the fests, right? And in the restaurant. That's the way it is, right? But this from the Milwaukee Business Journal yesterday. Saz's Hospitality Group has paused the sale of its popular frozen appetizers at local grocery stores as the company faces, increased production costs, packaging costs, raw materials costs. Everything's getting a little bit more expensive. Partner with the Milwaukee-based Saz's Hospitality Group said the company will be selling its frozen cheese curds and mozzarella sticks, those little mini mozzarella sticks. I think they're $5.99 for an 8-ounce package until the inventory is depleted at 250 grocery stores until they're gone. And then they're going to kind of reevaluate, kind of getting back to the core business. Kluth declined to say whether or not the percentage of the increased cost led the company to pulling its frozen appetizers from stores, but I suspect that they're getting back. Let's focus on the restaurant. Let's focus on what we do really well. And there's a lot of moving parts in these decisions, but as Mark Cass will probably attune to, mozzarella sticks in person, they're always better,
it
right?
It is. I'm thinking now you and I are going to have to haul more home from Summerfest, right? We'll be kind of walking down the streets of Milwaukee.
That's right.
With three or four kind of plates of these things. So those are phenomenal. I mean, it's just a smart decision. I mean, you just have to make, you got to make kind of choices, right?
Yeah.
What your costs are, what works, and you got to make choices. There's a lot of competition out there, but I'll still admit, having them live at either at State Fair or at Summerfest is still, and it always has the longest lines, right? No matter
where
you go. Those mozzarella sticks have the line. And the fries. The fries with the little sauce.
Yeah, without a doubt. And you can still get the fully cooked baby back pork ribs, $24.99 in 28-ounce packages. And the barbecue sauce is available in grocery stores still for $5.99.
Or just go to the restaurant.
That's right. Just go to the restaurant.
Restaurant. Hop on a shuttle. Then you go to the Brewer game tonight. Then you can watch them clinch.
Indeed.
One day.
Yeah, indeed. And speaking of clinching, sliding into the playoffs, the magic number is one. The Brewers are getting you ready for the playoffs with a drive-through event on Friday to celebrate the public launch of the first round postseason ticket sales, include special appearances by a ton of famous Milwaukee and Wisconsin sports legends. Robin Yount's going to be there, Mark.
Very cool.
Donald Driver. You can drive through the postseason pep rally from 6 to 9 a.m. They're giving away Brewers car flags, giving you early access to buy tickets.
And what else? Something else that's very important.
Well, let's
see. It's a bribe.
The first 5,000 people in line are going to get a free Johnsonville brat.
See, nothing better. You should get hopefully mozzarella sticks and brats, right? Make it quite a breakfast that day.
That is the breakfast of champions.
You know what
I love
about this event, Jeff, is it's all sports. It's not just kind of the Brewer legends out there. They're having obviously Donald Driver, it shows how these teams work with each other and support each other because it helps everybody. If they're in the playoffs, it's good for the region. It's good for everybody. So I love this event.
Yeah, great without events. A doubt. Brewers manager Pat Murphy, Bucks legend Sidney Moncrief, Badgers basketball alum Brian Butch, Wisconsin women's hockey player
all
Casey
across
O'Brien.
All sports. Yep.
Yeah, and even Roscoe, the Admirals mascot.
You can't have a good event without a mascot, right? Got to have the Johnsonville Sausages that will be there and Roscoe because, It only makes sense.
Yeah, so the drive-through postseason pep rally is Friday from 6 to 9 a.m. at American.
I'm thinking you're
going
to line up at, what, about 3 a.m. to get that brat?
Oh, yeah, I'll be there super early.
Got to get that free brat. I mean, that's a great way to start your day.
Yeah, so we'll have a little bit on postseason parking later in the show. I'll give you those costs. But next, when we come back, Andrew Brandt, executive director of the MURAD Center at Villanova, former VP at the Packers and host of the Business of Sports podcast, joins us. We're going to talk NFL quarterback contracts and much, much more. This is The Upswing, and this is The Business of Sports. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Team Lammy's Mark Cass. And on the phone, Andrew Brandt, host of the Business of Sports podcast. Andrew, we didn't mean to steal your podcast name here, but we call this episode every other Wednesday with Mark the Business of Sports as well. So it's meant to be that you had time to join us, and we truly appreciate it.
Yeah, well, you know my saying on Twitter, it's there will be lawyers. I don't know about that.
Wait a second. That's
a trademark attorney.
Nice to hear from you, Andrew. Thank you for being on the show.
Happy to.
Here are my lawyers, right? I love that. Great start.
So, Andrew, fans.
Yeah, it's great to be talking to people in that area and have so many fond memories from 9 years there. I'm making the Lambeau Trek pilgrimage this year. I'll be there for the October 20th game against the Houston Texans. So it's always good to get back every year.
Wow.
Right.
How long has it been since you've been back?
Yeah.
It's been a couple of years. Last year, my kids and I sort of do a trek every year. Usually it's to Lambeau, but last year we went to Frankfurt, Germany.
Oh, wow.
Because I had a reunion of my NFL Europe crew, and we went to the game of the Chiefs against the Dolphins in Frankfurt. So it was quite an experience to see football in Germany after experiencing it in Spain when I started there with the NFL World League way back in the day.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about quarterback contracts. I think fans are fascinated about quarterback contracts, and you've been a part of many negotiations. You look back to Favre's first contract, big one, 94. You went $19 million to the $220 million of Jordan Love. You were part of the Rodgers first negotiation in 2005. What are these deals? Skill based, market based, organizational timing, all the above.
Yeah, a lot to unpack here. Yeah. I did I'm not proud, I guess, to give out the first $100 million contract in NFL history. Brett signed in 2001. I gave him a 10-year, $110 million deal that he actually played out. The last 2 years of it, he played in 1 year in New York and 1 year in Minnesota. But he played out that deal, and you look at where it's come now. I think the important thing to know about quarterback contracts is that other than Deshaun Watson, none of them are all guaranteed. So they all have these contingencies. Usually the first year, first 2 years, sometimes first 3 years. Yeah, that's rock solid. That's quote unquote guaranteed at signing. But beyond that, especially with the Packers, because of a guy named Andrew Brandt, they don't really guarantee past year one, maybe year two.
Mm-hmm.
So when we see $200, $250 million, I always look at it and say, okay, what's the real money? Meaning, as I ask myself when doing Packer contracts, is when can they get out? So when you look at a contract negotiation, you always have to protect your downside risk.
Right.
When can a player get out? And usually it's 2 or 3 years. So when I see Trevor Lawrence or Daniel Jones or Justin Herbert sign these 7, 8, 9 year deals, I'm like, well, it's really 3 years and 6 1-year options for the team. Now, we assume the quarterback is going to be around, but you just never know. Mm-hmm. So you just have to look at it with that lens.
I mean, and that makes the signing bonus all that more important from the player and agent perspective, correct?
Yeah, and that also, that's a sort of double-edged sword with, again, the way I started structuring Packer contracts is we would give out big bonuses. I mean, there's the preservation fund, the cash reserves, whatever people want to call it. There's the use. So Jordan Love gets this 78 or 79, whatever it is, million-dollar signing bonus, which is far and away bigger than other ones done this year, but very limited guarantees past this year. No one expects Jordan Love is going to be on the chopping block in a couple of years. But the point of negotiations is who's got the leverage.
Mm-hmm.
And as the contract goes on, you see the Packers have more leverage than Jordan.
Yeah.
I mean, was there anything about his contract that was kind of a shock to you? Was there anything surprising, or was it pretty much as expected?
You know, I think these numbers, guys, when you talk about 50 a year, 51 a year, 52 a year, 55 a year, it's now you asked about what's important. It's not even how good anymore, right? The how good is for talk radio. It's for people at a bar. It's for fantasy football. Negotiators don't talk about how good. They talk about, okay, what's the market and what's the timing? And Jordan had urged for those two things because market was at whatever, 53, 55 million a year. And timing was perfect. Entering the last year of his contract, coming off a great season. There's no better timing.
Yeah.
So it always mattered just when he would do the contract. And I think length was the big issue. I think Packers wanted more than a five-year deal because Jordan will be back at the negotiating table in 3-4 years when the market's not 55, but it's 75 or whatever it is. And length is always a big issue in these deals.
All right. Andrew Brandt joins us. When we come back from the break, which NFL players are in your Hall of Fame for great contracts? And a few other questions. When we come back, this is The Upswing, the business of sports, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing, the business of sports. Mark Cass and Andrew Brandt joins us on the phone. Andrew, again, thanks for taking time. I'm always inspired by your information and your motivational messages on Twitter and X, too. I always appreciate what you share each and every day. So would you foresee another stock sale in Green Bay? I mean, last one was, what, 2021? Could you see that happening again?
Hard to know. You know, I was there 9 years. I was between sales. I didn't really see one in my time, but I don't know. It's all about keeping up with the Joneses, I guess, literally and figuratively, with all the money coming into these franchises and all the wealth that's there. I don't know if that's something the Packers feel like they need to do. Obviously, we read these financial reports every year.
Mm-hmm.
More and more, $600 million in revenue or something like that, and $50 million in profit. You know, I remember back in 2008 when I left, we were at about $300 million in total revenue and about $20 to $30 million in profit. So it just keeps going up, and you're getting a check from the NFL every year of $400 million for media and licensing. So my answer is, I guess they don't need to go there, and not anytime soon.
Yeah.
Are you surprised, though, kind of at the success over the years of, you know, all these people kind of throughout the world who are paying for nothing other than really, really just kind of helping the team?
Yeah. I always say you talk to non-Packer fans, and the stock sale is like, that's the worst investment ever.
Yeah.
And you talk to Packer fans, and they say, it's the best possession I own.
That's right.
It's like completely divergent. When I moved to Green Bay, guys, I started looking at houses, and every house had a shrine. It was like in the bottom of the house, there was a green room with pictures and stock certificates, and I'm like, wow, this place is different.
Yeah,
no doubt.
And that $300, hey, you know, put something to put out on the wall and be a part of something bigger than you.
It's just for a frame. That's all you're buying, Jeff. It's all good.
That's right. So, Andrew, which NFL players are in your Hall of Fame for great contracts and why? We got about two more minutes.
Yeah, a couple of years ago I started this, the Business of Football Hall of Fame. Sam Bradford, a guy that was the last bonus baby before they changed the rookie rules about top picks. where he got $78 million rookie contract. Now the guys get like $35 million. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Kirk Cousins, who we saw the other night, is definitely in there. Chase Daniel, a backup, mm-hmm. who made $60 million, hardly ever played. Jamarcus Russell, again, back to those rookie contracts. A guy named Nick Foles has an extraordinary amount of money for what he's done. And you go down the list. It's mm-hmm. mostly quarterbacks, and it's mostly quarterbacks who made a lot of money without actually playing football.
Yeah.
Is there anybody in Green Bay who you would, kind of over the years, who you would apply to that?
You know, I gave out some big contracts, unfortunately, guys that didn't pan out. Mm-hmm. A guy like Kabir Bajabiamila played well for a while, but he was paid at the top level. Other than that, I don't think we had a lot of bad contracts. Probably not.
Yeah. All right. If you had to move back, you said you're going back to Green Bay. Would you buy a home near Lambeau right now? Is that a good investment for you?
I think so.
Yes.
You know, I think what they're doing with the neighborhood, it just shows you how much it's changed. You know, when I started there, we had just the blower bowl. We had to increase it. We had to make Lambeau Field more than a 10-day-a-year destination. You just have to. Mm-hmm. And now you have to make Lambeau Field area more than a 10-day-a-year destination. It's not just the stadium.
Yeah.
So that is all going way up. I only see that increasing with the popularity of the NFL.
And what was your favorite cheap meal in Green Bay? We've got about 10 seconds.
Well, I'm kind of a health nut.
All right.
There was a place called Urban Frog, which is no longer there, that me and Aaron Rodgers kind of kept in business for a long time.
Not Kroll's, huh? I thought Kroll's hamburgers would be on that list.
Andrew Brandt, we appreciate your time. Enjoy the rest of the day.
Time for a quick look at your coffee and how much it costs. It's the Upswing's Coffee Index. Black coffee in bed.
The stain on my notebook. Coffee in bed. Welcome back to the Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We do the Upswing Coffee Index regularly on the show. Now, I have an East Side office, an office on the East Side of Milwaukee. Got there really early this morning, about 7:30. I didn't stop anywhere before I went to the office because there's this whole pour-over setup with Colativo coffee, all you can drink. Now, I did the economics on it. I guess I pay about $275 a month for the space there. So if you do the analysis, that's a 31-day month. That's like $8.80 a day for unlimited coffee at that office for me, Jazz. But it's really good, and there's cold brew on tap as well. So probably not the most economical choice, but
yeah, you have to drink a lot of coffee.
Wonderful.
To get
yeah.
So
investment.
How many cups are you drinking a day, Jeff? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, I only had one.
No. I mean, like 8 o'clock at night, are you walking in and asking for more coffee?
The beautiful thing is I have that luxury.
There you go.
Right? Jazz, where'd you stop this morning?
So, you know, I don't want to say I was in a panic this morning. I was like, I need to think of a new coffee place. So I just kind of looked it up and like, oh, there's one in St. Francis off of Sevier Avenue, right off of Packard. It's called La Finca Coffee House.
Okay.
And I got a punch card, which is nice. Now I got to go more.
That's truly, right. Load those up Milwaukee. And get the free one. Yep. Yes.
Right. But according to their card, direct trade, women owned, family grown. And it was only $2.92 for a cup of coffee. It was very, very nice.
All right. I always like it when we keep that cup below the $3. You got the punch card. You're going to go there more. You're going to get some free coffee eventually.
It's in St. Francis. I got to keep going.
All right. Very good. All right. So let's switch from coffee to NA beer, possibly, Mark. I'm sure you've heard this, but yes. Brewer's star Jackson Chourio is only 20 years old. Should they clinch today or whenever?
They will clinch today.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, they got two chances. I mean, the Cubs are the Cubs, right? Come on.
Yes.
They've lost two to Oakland already.
That's right. So you always have the big clubhouse celebrations, usually powered by Miller Lite
and
champagne in our market.
Yep.
But isn't there a big sponsorship opportunity here, at least to put a big old cooler of, you know, Molson Coors has what, Blue Moon NA?
Yes, they do.
They have Sharps that they've been brewing since 1989.
Since this has gotten a little press over the last couple of days, you may see some of those in his locker today.
Yes.
Just in case. I mean, I just think it's cool that you have a 20-year-old who's going to celebrate this tonight.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. But you know that he's going to be watching him. So if he takes one sip of anything, it's going to be a huge story, a huge thing on social media. So I'm sure he'll be drinking the non-alcoholic, be having a great time. But will somebody pour one over his head?
Oh, that is true. That's true.
Will
he
wear the
goggles?
The goggles and they'll spill down. It's going to be, I mean, I love those things. I think they're just hilarious to watch these grown men just, I mean, it's a long season, and everything they do is really so well-deserved, but it is humorous to watch.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. You also have the, you know, the opportunity, just another idea I'm going to throw out there, Robinade.
Yes.
You know, you could just, you know, put a big old case of Robinade in front of his locker.
Won't it
like
be,
Robin
Young,
Jackson
cool.
Cheerio?
Yeah, maybe
two peas in a pod.
Maybe Euchre and Cheerio can hang out together. You get, you know, I mean, you got a 90-year-old Bob Euchre still out there, which is an amazing story. Self that he's out there, and I'm sure he'll be in the clubhouse when this happens. He always is. And how revered, they all love him. So maybe him and Cheerio can have a non-alcoholic one together. Now, or maybe Bob can have the alcohol, and he can maybe taunt a little bit of Jackson with it.
I love it. So what is the economic impact of another possible, hopeful, deep Brewers playoff
run? I think it's pretty much going to happen for sure for the first round, or obviously first. I think it's so important. I mean, we talk all the time about economic impact. We talk about activity and energy. To have them in the playoffs, to have, you know, another week, 2-3 weeks of it is so important to the hotels. Because you can just see it from last night when I was watching the game. There are a lot of fans in from out of town for the Phillies who fly in for this. So, I mean, we end up against Arizona. We end up against the Mets. They end up against any of these teams. They're going to have fans who are going to fly in, who are going to stay in the hotels, who are going to eat in our restaurants, who are going to spend money in the stores, who are going to go to the art museum, who are going to go to our other places and hang out. Great for the city. It's also that national attention we've talked about before. We are a professional sports town.
Yeah.
Having that where you're on ESPN every day, you're on every website, kind of that energy is so important. We saw it in 21 with the Bucks, right? Kind of when they made that long run. We saw it with this team in 2018 when the Brewers made it into the NLCS.
Yeah.
Almost made it to the World Series. You know, I've been working on a project, as you know, on the World Series, the last time they were in the World Series. How cool would it be the year that our movie came out on the 82 Brewers? We have a team in the World Series. How cool would that be? And just to have those guys back and be part of this, and the energy you saw kind of in that movie and now would be phenomenal. It'd be great for the city.
Yeah, and I'm excited to hear at the end of the show some of the updated numbers around that movie, too, because it's been a big success for sure.
But that energy and that love for your team lives on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so important to your team because, I mean, they're going to spend – I mean, the Brewers, this is great for the Brewers because all of a sudden you have 2 games, 4 games, 6 games, more of a full house.
Yeah.
It's a lot more revenue for the team.
Yeah. And if you're a fan of your team, you cannot discount that. The playoffs just don't happen every year.
No.
If you're a true fan, find a way to go.
We all remember the 90s. Come on.
Experience it. It is truly a different game
in
the playoffs.
Well, think about this. 82 was the last time and the only time the Brewers were in the World Series.
Yeah.
We took it for advantage then. We thought it was going to happen in 83. It didn't. We can use the NBA. We thought after 21, the Bucks win the title. It's going to happen 3 more times. It hasn't yet. Hopefully it will this year.
Yeah.
But it hasn't yet. It's luck and skill all at the same time.
Indeed. All right. Mark Cass from Team Lammy joins us. This is the Business of Sports. You're listening to The Upswing. This is WTMJ.
Eric and I discussed this. I thought if Jackson, now his family has been in town, right? To some degree. Like if his mom or dad were there, couldn't he drink?
Maybe.
Do you want your mom to send a note down to the clubhouse? It's okay if Jackson has one.
Yeah, that used to be the old rule, right?
I don't know.
Drink in Wisconsin when you were 16, if you were, or 18, if you had a parent with you, right? So that's a great question. I think that if Mom and Papa Churio are around, they may have a celebratory beverage after the big celebration inside the clubhouse. The way it's done. Exactly.
What do you think, Jeff? Are we going to rely on Vince Vitrano tell us whether – I mean, officer.
I think so.
Officer,
you got to rely on the news.
Vince Vitrano told me I could drink. That's what I want to hear him say today.
That's right.
Officer, I'm sorry. You please, I don't want a ticket for underage drinking.
So the official notice is persons under 21 may be on licensed premises if they're with their parents, guardians, or spouses of legal drinking age. But this is at the discretion of the license holder.
There we go.
So
it's actually Mark Atanasio who's making the call, right?
Exactly, yeah. So we'll see how the celebration happens tonight for Jackson Cheerio and the rest of his teammates at our wonderful Milwaukee Brewers. So, Mark, as the college football season is kicking off here, Tennessee fans are paying a bit more for their season tickets as the school has added a talent fee surcharge.
Wow.
You think, you know, is that the era we're in now for tickets with more fees, more surcharges? Is that all coming
100%.
At kind of the discretion of the school?
Yeah, you're going to see it over the next couple of years as they have to start to pay the players. I mean, they're basically what they're saying down there is this is going to be for the pool of money to ensure that all players are being paid. I think you're going to see it almost at every major college. I mean, this is the way of the world right now. They now are going to be paid. I mean, there's talk. I mean, right now it's through the NIL. It's through all their collectives. I mean, obviously, so they're being paid. But it's going to be much more upfront now. You know, I mean, a quarterback gets this. Someone on the line gets this. I mean, the way we think of the NCAA has changed dramatically. And I think over the next three to six years, it's going to even change more. It's going to become a paid league. You're going to see these guys are going to hop around like they're doing now. They're really kind of moving from school to school every year. Who offers some kind of more money? Because, I mean, that's the way of the world in a sense.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of it. I still love a kid who plays for their school all 4 years, but I get it.
Right.
I mean, how many of those kids are going to make the pros? Are going to make the NFL and the NBA? Not a lot. So you got to make your money when you can, right?
Right.
So I understand it. I think it's hard for the alumni. It's hard for the schools because how do you kind of have them out there as the brand of the school?
Right.
From now on, it's going to be the team, no longer each player.
Yeah. Yeah. And the alums and the fans want to make that investment in their school. And, adding another 10% talent fee,
right,
another 4.5 across the board for season ticket holders, you know, whatever it is, incremental costs.
Yeah, it's going to be the seat licensing fees, you know, how much you pay at the schools just to have the right to buy a ticket, not actually for the tickets. So, no, you're going to see many more fees for these kids. There's no doubt. It's interesting because the schools need these programs. I mean, how much money does UW bring in the football?
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. I mean, it's so important to the school overall. But, yeah, there's no doubt this fee that you're seeing there is going to be applied throughout the NCAA.
All right, one team that, you know, maybe struggling a little bit to raise its prices. You look in Illinois, the Chicago White Sox. When we come back, Mark, I got to talk to you about this. The White Sox are grasping a little bit for
who's it?
Yeah, what?
What?
I mean, a lot of challenges on and off the field. But I want to get your lens in terms of what the team can do business wise for the rest of the season and the off season to continue to drive revenue for the White Sox. This is the business of sports. Mark Cass, Team Lammy. I'm Jeff Sherman. This is The Upswing. We're presented by Horicon Bank. Welcome back to The Upswing. Mark Cass from Team Lammy. Always appreciate him joining us. So by the numbers, Mark, let's look at the Chicago White Sox.
This will be fun because it's not the Brewers. We like this.
That's right. 125 losses the White Sox are on pace for, which would break the modern era record of 120 held by the Mets in 1962. The average attendance at Guaranteed Rate Field now.
What's it, like 12 people, 13 people?
Well, 16,916. Okay. So
that's sold. That's not people in the ballpark.
That's right, yes. And then already a 10% reduction in season ticket prices for next year.
That's the
and
biggest
demand. We don't know what that is, but I mean, that demand is probably less.
You know,
than
anybody
that
you talk to in the sports world is it's always not about where you currently are, it's where you're going to be. So, I mean, if you have a bad year, it's so harder to sell seats the next year, to sell sponsorships the next year. So that's clearly the case in the White Sox. I think what the White Sox need to do, I mean, the White Sox have a couple things against them. One, in a huge city, but up against another team in the Cubs who has such an incredible loyal this to it.
Yeah.
None of those fans are going to help. None of those fans are coming over. And who, I mean, obviously lost for years the Cubs, but they're still, I mean, it's an experience to go to Wrigley. So what they need to do is they need to make it more of an experience to go see them play, whether it's upgrades to the stadium, whether it's, you know, sponsors. What they need to do is, because I'm not going to buy a ticket. I'm not going to spend the money you need to spend on these tickets unless it's more fun. There's more food options. There's beer options. You make it a kind of, okay, I'm taking them to the game, but we're going to walk around and eat and try the new beer, blah, blah, blah. That's the way to do it. And because in the end, especially for these teams, it's about winning.
Right.
And it's clearly here, it ain't working.
And the thing is, fans have very short-term memories.
Yep.
You look, it was just 3 years ago where the White Sox won the AL Central, right?
I just think of them as the lovable kind of losers right now.
Yeah.
I do, which, you know, I mean, and but you need to get a reputation. And the reputation right now is kind of, why would I go see them?
Yeah. All right. Well, it wasn't that long ago where our Brewers were in the World Series, 1982. How's the Brewers money making from the movie coming along from what you're working on?
Yeah, this has been a tremendous kind of effort. You know, three guys from L.A. who worked on the film, a couple of them grew up here, one in Elm Grove and one in Burlington. It's been phenomenal. I mean, the response has been off the charts. What they were promised originally was 1 week actually from Marcus Theaters.
Okay.
But the crowds have been so large that they've been extended a week already. They've been expanding. They're now going to open up in Illinois on Friday.
Hmm.
So that's a big deal for them. They're averaging more at each screening. Really, I think they're number four in the country for all movies.
Hmm.
For every major Hollywood movie that's out, they're number four right now in terms of the average number. We've had sellouts. And what's interesting about this, kind of, Jeff, is it's an atmosphere. People, when I've gone to the movie now three times, I've seen it because I've been hosting a number of events. They come dressed up in all their jerseys. They come with the Brewer hats. They come with signs. They're cheering throughout the movie. They're crying at the end of the movie, obviously when they lose. I'm not spoiling it here. but it's also been great to see just how people love that team.
Yeah.
You know, we had them at an event about a week ago now out in Brookfield. So we had Paul Molitor and Vukovic and Slayton and Moose Haas. These guys are rock stars still. It's 42 years later. People love that team. So to me, this is a great ride. And what's the neat thing that I've also seen is I lived through it, but I wanted to make sure I brought she's now 29-year-old, kind of with me. Others are bringing their kids with them to experience it. So it becomes kind of, you know, they've heard me talk about it over the years.
Yeah.
Now they've seen it. And the movie's great. I'm biased. Yeah. I'll admit it up front. It's a rare kind of film. It's doesn't have a narrator. It's interview based.
Okay.
Throughout the whole movie.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the Rotten Tomato reviews, they've all been really solid.
Off the charts. 99 and basically 99.9% positive.
So is there a path?
I've never gotten that. Have you? Have you ever been that positive?
No. So is there a path to national distribution for this film?
There is a lot of requests. We've been getting a lot of requests from fans throughout the country to see it. So I know that our firm is, when I talk about our firm, three guys from LA who worked on this are talking to whether it's a streaming service, whether it's some way to get others to see it. Because there are Brewer fans who lived here in the 80s, who now live in Arizona, who live in Florida, who want to see this movie. Again, there's just a love for this team.
Yeah.
The other part about the movie that I think is cool and hopefully will happen again this year is the love from the city. I mean, the city and the team, they both kind of loved each other at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
So it is kind of a love story with a little crying at the end, I call it, because of the thing. But, you know, I would encourage you to go out and see it. I mean, if you want to extend it, I'd bring your friends, bring your family, bring your dog, bring your cat, whatever you need to do, bring them, because it just helps extend the movie.
All right. I checked tickets for the Brewers movie last night at Hillside. Tuesday night show, 8:35 in Delafield, only $7.35. Yes. So it's still a deal.
It's still a deal. And it was almost full, too. Almost sold out.
All righty. We'll see you tomorrow.